RadioInfluence.com.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Landry Football Podcast. We want to wish our best for great folks of Florida as another storm is heading this time their way, and wish them the best, of course. Want to ask you if you can help us help the flood victims in Southeast Texas. We are going to continue to do that. And how it works is really simple. We are buying supplies for those in need. We'll do that, of course, as needed in Florida, is, to send cleaning supplies and basic toiletries that are needed at the shelters for folks that are affected by these devastating storms. What we're doing is finding a way for you to help us help them. And we're offering, obviously, a discount on our subscription for the premium portion of our website, LandryFootball.com, and we're taking 50% of that money. So if you can get a $50 a year subscription, which is 50% off, we'll take $25 of that $49.99 and put it towards getting supplies and getting into the hands of the folks that are in much need right now. So it's a way to help your heart in this tough time for your fellow man, and then obviously improve your enjoyment for this college football season and NFL season, which is starting today. All right, we're going to get into, obviously, the start of the NFL season, as well as a great week two, or of really partly week three of the college football season. A lot of big-time games. Want to remind you that if you're not a member of LandryFootball.com, it's a great opportunity to get inside the film room and get in-depth breakdowns of all of these teams, the college teams, the pro teams, film room analysis of the games pre and post. So you want to take advantage of it. We've got all the details at LandryFootball.com. Tell a friend. We appreciate you being with us. All right, well, let's get into wanted to talk about the start of the NFL season as we kind of broken down the teams in a season preview and a week one preview, and you can check that out again on the website to get a feel for how these rosters are looking, how the teams are looking heading into the start of the season. Of course, tonight we get it all underway with the prohibitive favorites, the New England Patriots, hosting Kansas City. Last year's Super Bowl champion Patriots, I think, have improved their team, and I think improved it by a significant amount this offseason. And, you know, it is one thing to improve a roster. That's all we really can do at this point, and just evaluate as the season goes how they play and how they perform. Well, we have a track record, obviously, with the Patriots, with a legendary quarterback, a legendary head coach, of how they prepare and how good they truly are in adjusting on a week-to-week basis with opponents and maximizing their roster bottom up. And, you know, I think there's no further example of you lose a great receiver in Julian Edelman. That's such a big part of what they do. A security blanket, if you will, for Tom Brady. And yet they go out and say, look, they made some moves this offseason. Brandon Cooks is an outside receiver. Chris Hogan can play outside and in the slot. They also have added Philip Dorsett, who can play in the slot as a vertical threat. So they've got good backs. They're well-coached on the offensive line. They're very solid there. And they obviously have a quarterback, the trigger man, that can work and orchestrate that offense. It'll be interesting to see how they do going up against a very well-coached and a very talented Bob Sutton defense of the Chiefs. I think that you've got to really do a good job of keeping the backs in check out of the backfield. And you've got to force the football against Brady and the Patriots down the field outside the numbers over 35 yards. If you allow any openings within that under window of 30 yards, particularly in the middle of the field and outside the numbers within 20 yards. He'll find it. Guys will be open. He'll throw them open, and he'll get the ball out on time to where you don't have enough time to have pressure. How do you beat Tom Brady, I constantly get asked. Well, it's not easy, but I'll tell you what you have to do. And the teams that have had success do this. They get good four-man pressure. Occasionally bring a fifth man, but you got to play coverage and pressure with four. You bring extra pressure, he'll beat your coverage. He'll beat the blitz. He'll get it out quickly, and he'll beat your coverage. If you drop and play cover and you don't get any pressure, then he'll beat you because eventually they'll get open and find just little seams within your coverage, and he'll get it. So it's very difficult. You have to have a little help. He has to be on a little bit of an off day. You got to get pressure. What type of pressure? Best to get pressure up the middle. He likes to step up in the pocket. Doesn't move really well. You got to get pressure in his face. When you do that, you kind of cloud things a little bit. You kind of, you know, muddy that landscape and muddy that pocket, and he's not as comfortable. Chiefs. You know, there are two coaches, Andy Reid and Mike Shanahan, that have given the most trouble to Bill Belichick in working with Bill over the years. Those are the guys that he respects the most as play callers and ones who have done the best job of diagnosing against his defenses. Chiefs are going to be without Spencer Ware. Kareem Hunt, young back out of Toledo, is a good player. Chiefs run the football well. They find a way to run the football. The screen game, short passing game, they find a way to get it done. That's what they do, and they do it exceedingly well. Balance, Alex Smith, timing, decision-making, that's what they want to do. Certainly with Tyreek Hill, they've got a playmaker. Bill will try to reroute him off the line of scrimmage, you know, disrupt that timing and rhythm, and then kind of force the game into the air, maybe a little bit more downfield. They'll come up. They'll tackle and try to play from the yard markers in. And that's how they typically like to try to play Kansas City, Kansas City's offense. Kansas City's a rhythmic, timing, balanced offense that attacks as you move, they move, and really try to surgically work their way down the field. And then, you know, if they can get a big play, they'll take it. But they're about ball control, and they're about surgically getting down the field and taking opportunities as they come. Ought to be a good one. As the game gets closer, I'm seeing and visualizing New England and Tom Brady maybe winning this game and maybe going away. We've got the full breakdown again up on the website already, as we'll have every NFL game broken down. Game preview, key players to watch, key matchups to watch. We'll give you, in a prediction, we'll give you all of that every game, every week. But I just sense that Patriots on the mission at home, the home teams start open the season, are just incredibly successful. A lot of emotion. I just would be surprised, not shocked, surprised if Kansas City were to be able to beat them. Some other key games, some big games. Probably in the next biggest game, you got Seattle, Green Bay, and the Giants, Dallas. We'll start with the Sunday night game, Giants and Dallas, that will have Zeke Elliott in it and appears to will not have Odell Beckham in it for the Giants. But kind of, you know, Dallas at home, a little bit of an edge here, but as I look at it, the play up front is going to be the key. The Cowboys offensive line, stellar as it is, going up against a very good Giants defensive front, how they're able to handle that's going to be pivotal. Zeke Elliott's big. Make no mistake, great offensive line with the Cowboys, yes. But Zeke Elliott is the playmaker at running back that makes the running game go and makes the work that the offensive line do flourish. You put a lesser back in that can still move the football to a point, but are not nearly as effective. So keep that in mind. Really important that Zeke Elliott's going to be here for this game and give the Cowboys a much better chance in it. Giants without Odell Beckham, how does that affect them? Well, it can't have a player of that ilk not be there and not affect you. They still have a lot of weapons. I think that it comes down to, for the Giants' success offensively, if they have all hands on deck, is how they protect Eli from the edges. I think the interior of the offensive line of the Giants are better than the outside. How they're able to protect those, because they've got weapons in the passing game. How they're able to protect Eli from the outside is pivotal. Eli, with time, is surgical. And he can absolutely get the ball accurately out on time, and he's outstanding. But under pressure, he can't function and becomes just an average quarterback. That is the whole key. This is a team offensively that can be very good. They can run the football effectively. But the play up front, the offensive line, will determine how good this Giants team could be this year. Defensively, I think they're really good. And I think they're better than Dallas defensively. So it'll be a fun game to watch there. Seattle, Green Bay. Seattle, love this defense. Think it's kind of loaded for bear up front. The addition of Sheldon Richardson is huge. Their offensive line is key. Can they do a better job of establishing the line of scrimmage, getting the running game going? Pivotal for their success. Russell Wilson is a guy that is outstanding, very, very functional when he needs to make big plays. I mean, he's a guy that can have a series of bad plays and make great plays in the clutch down the stretch in the passing game, but he's not a guy that you want throwing the football 40 times a game. They've got better weapons in the passing game, so in some degree, they're more capable of even making explosive plays in the passing game, but they have regressed from their Super Bowl runs in the running game and at play at the line of scrimmage. They put so much on Tom Gable to make something out of little that they have not really done a very good job of finding the right pieces together. That's got to change. If they do, that may be your favorite in the NFC, right there with Atlanta. Best-looking roster in the league. Green Bay's got Aaron Rodgers. We know what they can do. How well can they run the football this year? Going to be key. Pivotal, because the run game, folks, and you hear me talk about running the football. Yes, I think the misunderstanding around pro football is that it's a passing league, and the passing league means that the run game doesn't matter. No. Wrong. It's a passing league. That's where the explosive plays come from. That's where the rules kind of help give you an advantage. If you throw the football, it's tough for defenses to touch, position themselves, can't hit. So it's a passing league. That's correct. But in order for the pass game to work, you've got to have the running game. Because even if you score points, you've got to be able to win games with the running game, and you've got to be able to set up the pass with the run and the run with the pass. So if you are lacking one of them, you're going to be deficient to some degree. Now, Aaron Rodgers in the past has been able to cover up for lack of a running game, cover up a lack of a defense, but that can only get you so far. That is, you know, asking Michael Jordan to go out and score 75 points, and, you know, that's fine, but that's not going to win you, you know, every game. Certainly not going to win you a championship. And that's where Green Bay has slipped from their Super Bowl year of several years ago, where they played very well defensively, rushed the passer better. Are they that much better rushing the passer this year? I'm not convinced that they are. And that is going to be key for them going forward. Running the football, improved pass rush, obviously is going to help the play in that secondary and give them an opportunity to be a, you know, potentially deep playoff team. I don't see Green Bay as a Super Bowl caliber team right now. I do think Seattle can be. We'll see what Seattle can do on the road in Lambeau this week. Oakland goes to Tennessee in a very interesting game. Tennessee's an improved team. Love this team at the line of scrimmage. Love their offensive line. Love their running backs. I think really love Marcus Mariota. Love Corey Davis as a young receiver. I think they've got some weapons to take that next step. Like their defensive front. Very good. Not as dominant in the back end of their defense, but very good. John Robinson's a really good football guy. He's made changes in that personnel department, scouting department, for the better. And he's really kind of turned that organization around. The Raiders, speaking of turning it around, Reggie McKenzie's done an outstanding job. I don't know that the Raiders have enough pass rush on defense. Like their young safeties, like their offensive line. Think Marshawn Lynch can help them in short yardage and goal line. Love Derek Carr. Like the weapons that they've built around him. But I think the Raiders are good. I don't know that I see them as, you know, deep into the, you know, Super Bowl type good. So I should be remiss to, if I didn't mention Tampa and Miami, remind everybody that game's going to be on November 19th. Folks, all I can tell you is, you know, I get asked this a lot, and it's usually folks at the outer areas that really have no understanding of what it's like to be involved with an oncoming hurricane, as I have growing up in South Louisiana. It is not relevant to anybody on those two teams about playing football this week, and it is not on their mind about not having a bye week in November. I'm sure they'll think about it then, but there is nothing on anybody's mind other than getting their family, their well-being, their property out of harm's way as best they can. It's a major, major issue when the hurricane is on its way. It's, you know, it's unlike any other disaster in that you know it's coming and you can't do anything about it other than get out of its way and do the best you can and hope and pray that when you come back, you have what you have built for yourself and your property and your belongings back where they are. But folks, it's just not the whole thing. They should play a neutral-site game. Well, they could have played a neutral-site game. If these teams, you know, felt like that was the right thing, they would have. The league absolutely had that on the table and could have worked it out. It just, you're dealing with, you know, players having to leave their families. Where do they, you know, they go play a game, the families can't go with them, where do they go? That is beyond unnerving. Quite frankly, I just say it, I think it's very insensitive and ignorant when people criticize, well, they should do this or should do that, as if football is even a factor. So I'll leave that alone. Some other games, kind of go over some of the games. Jets, bad-looking roster, go against Buffalo. You know, it's a game Buffalo at home should win. Start off the season. I don't think either one of these teams are, you know, certainly Buffalo, I think, is no better than a 7-9 type team. Jets less than that. Atlanta goes in Chicago. Chicago will fight, play hard. Defensively, they'll be physical. Atlanta, I expect to get off to a good start. Can they run the football well? I think establishing the run is going to be a key for them. Something they want to do. Baltimore-Cincinnati. Baltimore's had a lot of injuries. Cincinnati, these teams are pretty close. And maybe one of the kind of the I don't know where it's going to go type of games. You know, I think Cincinnati at home, healthy quarterback, you know, maybe gives them a better chance. But both of these teams, again, look like 500 type teams. Curious to see what Cleveland can do. Looks like Myles Garrett's not going to play. Pittsburgh's going to win the game. But, you know, how will Cleveland play at home? Be big for them. They don't have many wins on their schedule, but I think they're improved. Pittsburgh, really good team, and I think almost as prohibitive a favorite in the North as the Patriots are in the East. The Cardinals, Detroit. Cardinals are a team that I'm just not quite sure where to go with them. It's a team that Carson Palmer stays healthy and upright. They're a pretty solid defensive team. But offensively, I'm just not quite. They're going to need good play from young receivers. Got a great back. Offensive line is going to have to play better. I see them as a non-playoff team, but, you know, I think they're close enough to where I could see 10 wins coming out of it if things break right. This is a must-win, a pivotal game for that to get off to a good start and make that a reality. Detroit is a team that is, you know, I still don't see them as a team that can get to 500. I like Matthew Stafford's talent. I think the play around him has not been good enough. And I know they've shown good patience, you know, or shown patience. It's been, you know, been a long time. I like Jim Caldwell, but some of the pieces around him, Bob Quinn has been a little hit and miss in terms of his moves that he's made. Houston hosting Jacksonville. Very curious to see where Houston's quarterback evolves during the course of the year, but very good defense. Should be able to run the football. Jacksonville's quarterback is a real problem and going to be an issue all year long. Another very under-the-radar game, Philadelphia-Washington, is Giants and Cowboys play. Philly and Washington plays in Landover. This will give maybe an early indication of where maybe the third team in the division is, whether it's just one game, so it's not going to determine an awful lot. But I'm very curious to see how both of these teams play. I like Philly a little better coming out of the preseason than Washington, but I think both are fairly equal in overall roster, like Carson Wentz. But the weapons around them, not as consistent as playmakers. Going to be interesting to see how both of these teams develop, as I see them as the third and fourth teams in the division. Indianapolis without Andrew Luck. Listen, this game could be very tough, and one in which the Rams, I think, need to win, get off to a good start. This will be interesting from their standpoint more than any. Don't see the Colts being in the South race unless Andrew Luck can get healthy. Then Carolina goes to San Francisco. Carolina, bounce back year, I think, is on the horizon. San Francisco will play better, and I think they'll play well offensively in this game. Carolina, this is the game, though. You've got to go and you've got to win. You know, the play of Cam Newton is always pivotal, but to me, how this offense evolves, you know, with Christian McCaffrey, the check down options in the in their offense, that's going to be really pivotal to see, you know, how that transforms. That'll determine whether Carolina can stay in this South race all year long or be maybe a better team than any of us think at this point. Monday night games, Saints in Minnesota, go to Minnesota. Saints, very curious to see what their defense looks like, how they're able to defend their defensive front in particular. The back end, there'll be challenges, but I think the play up front is what I'm most interested in the Saints' defense offensively. Want to see the Saints' ability to run the football and how that's going to be able to combine with the defense and determine whether the Saints can be a player or not offensively. Without Willie Snead, it hurts them. We'll see Sean Payton be creative with formations to account for that. But Drew Brees certainly always gives you a chance. And I think these are two teams that Minnesota has a better roster defensively. The Saints have a better, more explosiveness, obviously, on offense with the quarterback. So a game, again, which if the Saints can win on the road, it's a feather in their cap to be able to beat a pretty good conference opponent on the road. Los Angeles Chargers, I did get that right. They're in Los Angeles. Going to Denver, though, playing the Broncos. Curious to see this Bronco defense, very good on the back end, thinning out on the front end. Offensively, play of the offensive line of the Broncos. Want to see that, how that plays and continues to develop. Chargers. Philip Rivers, what can he do? Got some injuries. Some injuries early in the offensive line. Protection there is going to be pivotal to see. So can't wait to watch those games on Monday night. Again, the doubleheader Monday night. All right, want to get into the college action that I think is going to be a lot of fun. And I like to do this kind of in the order of which the games are going to be played. And want to talk a little bit about, you know, Friday night, no Thursday night games because of the NFL tonight. But get a chance to watch Jeff Brohm's offense at Purdue Friday night. I thought they moved the football well, got a piece up on the website about his offense, spending time with him, and kind of they played well against Louisville. Ohio is pretty good program, and Frank Solich has got a good team. Very curious to see how that plays out. Expect Oklahoma State to roll against South Alabama on Friday night as well. Saturday in the early game, which would be 12 noon Eastern, 11 Central, not a lot of big games. Games to kind of focus on that I'm curious about. Louisville, North Carolina. North Carolina's got some problems on defense, and offensively they're not as explosive. Louisville with Lamar Jackson. Want to watch that and see how that plays out. Iowa, Iowa State, this is always a good game. Iowa certainly played well last week against Wyoming. I thought they were physical. I thought they ran the football well. Iowa State's always played Iowa well. We'll see this game in Ames and how well this comes out. West Virginia, tough loss, but good performance against Virginia Tech gets East Carolina. Duke and Northwestern play. In what I think is going to be an intriguing game and what team can get their offense going. Wisconsin gets Florida Atlantic, and which should be a significant win. Kentucky should be able to take care of Eastern Kentucky and get off to a 2-0 start. Michigan will put the hammer down on Cincinnati and kind of get things going on offense, I would think, in this game. We get into the second wave of games, the mid-afternoon, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. Couple of intriguing games that I want to watch. The TCU-Arkansas game is going to be fun to watch. Really want to see. This is a tough game for both teams because I think both of these teams are very physical. I think Arkansas is a better line of scrimmage team. I think they can run the football better. But defensively, I worry about TCU's ability. Arkansas's ability to control TCU's offense. This is going to be a problem. Can it become a game? You know, I like the way TCU plays scheme on defense, but I think that for Arkansas, they want this game to be more in the trenches. I think they want to be able to run the football. I don't think that they're going to, you know. They're going to have to be able to throw the football, but I think they would prefer to be able to keep this game a little closer to the vest because it limits the amount of snaps their offense, their defense has to be on the field against TCU's offense. Kenny Hill's really tough when he gets outside the pocket. You got to keep him outside the pocket. Kyle Hicks sat out the Jacksonville State game, but he's going to be ready to play for against Arkansas. A couple of good defensive players to look out for at TCU. Ty Summers. Played well last season. Trayvon Howard is a really good player for Arkansas. The running backs, David Williams. Chase Hayden, a true freshman, was outstanding last week, freshman of the week. Again, I think edge goes in the pass game to TCU, run game to Arkansas. If it's an up-tempo, lots of points, big favor towards TCU, closer to the vest game, favor towards Arkansas. Texas will get back on track against San Jose State at home, see if they can't fix some things on defense. Alabama will work on some things in the passing game against Fresno State as they move on to 2-0. Pitt really struggled last week against Youngstown State. Going to have a hard time defensively against this Penn State offense that is very good, very explosive, very talented. So, again, all these games will break down in greater depth, and we have them on the website for you so that you can get a real feel for where the matchups are, players to look at, and how the game might play out. Nebraska, Oregon. Nebraska really had their hands full against Arkansas State last week. Oregon really got the offense going in a big way. So, very curious to see how Nebraska responds in this game, and whether defensively they can hold up to any degree against this this Oregon offense. I can tell you that the time slot that is going to be the most difficult and the most fun is going to be the evening time slot, starting at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, all the way through the 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central start time, where we're going to have going on at the same time Auburn-Clemson, South Carolina-Missouri, Georgia-Notre Dame, Oklahoma-Ohio State, and Stanford-USC. Auburn-Clemson. Broke down the tape of Auburn against Georgia Southern, and Jarrett Stidham left a lot of plays on the field. Going to have to play better, and it's going to be tough against this Clemson defense. If they're going to have a chance here in this game, he's going to have to really be sharper. And I know they scored and they won, and it's great last week, but this is going to be quite a test. Clemson's defense is good, and this will be obviously a big challenge for Auburn's defense against a very explosive-looking Clemson offense. This Clemson team, I as guilty as any head. Florida State, team to beat. Clemson is definitely, I think, the team to beat in the ACC now with the injury to DeAndre Francois, but they may have been anyway. They are really good, and they are consistently, constantly just reloading defensively. This is a very good team. Like Clemson, and I like Clemson a little bit more as the game gets closer than I did last week as the games were unfolding. Or going into it, I thought this might be a little bit closer. I tend to think Clemson might win and might win going away here. South Carolina talked about the impressive performance against North Carolina State. Love Jake Bentley. He's my favorite quarterback in the SEC. I think he's a big-time playmaker. He and Drew Locke are going to have a fun night. But I'm very curious to see how the defenses perform. Will's got a defense that he's going to fix, but it'll take a little while. Can he slow down Drew Locke? Can Missouri do anything? I think South Carolina is going to run the football. I think they're going to limit Missouri's possessions, keep their defense fresh. It's imperative. South Carolina didn't want to get it into a shootout game. South Carolina is the better team, but Missouri just doesn't have enough defense, but you've got to be able to keep their offense off the field. Georgia-Notre Dame. Want to see what Jake Fromm does on the road at quarterback. Improving Georgia defense. Doesn't have all the depth and pieces and moving parts for their defense, but Kirby Smart's building something special at Georgia. He's got two good young quarterbacks that the future is very, very good with those guys. Offensive line's getting better. Like Georgia here on the road. Thought Notre Dame played well, graded out well against Temple. Like Georgia's personnel a little bit better in this game. Ohio State hosting Oklahoma. I don't think there's any doubt that the key to this game is, can Oklahoma pass protect well enough against Ohio State's defensive front to take advantage of some passing game advantages that they have against Ohio State's coverage? How much better will Ohio State's coverage be? That is going to be fun when Oklahoma has the ball and Ohio State is on defense. On the other side, I think Ohio State's going to be able to run the football at Oklahoma. I think defensively this is, by Big 12 standards, a decent Oklahoma defense, but it's not by national standards a great defense. And I think Ohio State's going to be able to run the football, and that'll be the difference in the game. I think the Buckeyes are a superior team and really has an edge there in the trenches. LSU will work on their passing game a little bit against Tennessee Chattanooga. Florida will try to get things right schematically against the Northern Colorado. ULM, Louisiana Monroe, will going to be the victim against Florida State this week. Mississippi State goes on in a tricky game against Louisiana Tech. Washington, off a good performance, will face a nice little opponent in Montana, but we'll be able to pull away and be successful and try to really develop some of their coverages and on defense with some of their young guys that they have. I think this will be a good game to work on a lot of that. Stanford-USC going to be an outstanding game. I do think that USC was looking ahead a little bit last week and to this game. This game's pretty simple. USC's a more explosive team, better quarterback, make more big playability. I think defensively they're very good, athletic. I think they can make big plays. I tend to think USC will make enough big plays to get this one done against Stanford. Stanford's going to punch in the mouth. They're physical. They're going to rely on the running game. I don't see the playmaking ability to get it done in this game for Stanford. Defensively, they're well positioned. Again, they come downhill. They're physical. They play good zone and coverage. But I think USC should be able to exploit it. I expect USC to bounce back, play well, and win this game. Very curious to see P.J. Fleck goes on the road and see if Gary Anderson, Oregon State team, can show some signs of life. P.J.'s trying to build some momentum and excitement. Be a big win for them if they can get it done. Utah should hammer BYU. Utah is quite a bit better. This BYU team is lacking in playmakers, lacking in explosiveness. Houston goes on the road against Arizona. San Diego State against Arizona State, too. Teams out in the Pac-12 that need to perform well, particularly Arizona State, who struggled big time early in last week's game to get it done. That's kind of the what we're seeing in this week's games and how we see them playing out, working out. Want to remind folks on a couple of things back into the NFL, and I mentioned this in the last podcast. The final rosters are set for the first regular season game. So players that are on the roster now are guaranteed to get their check for week one. Vested veterans that are on the roster as of Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern are guaranteed their contracts to the end of the year. So be on the lookout for the possibilities of somebody getting let go over the weekend, Friday, Saturday. You may hear about it while you're watching college games, and then bringing somebody back. It's just a simple procedure issue to not be on the hook for a player for the entire year, his salary. So, in other words, if you player's not on the roster on Saturday, a vested veteran is not on the roster Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and he's signed next week, his salary is not guaranteed. But if he is on the roster by 4 p.m. Eastern this Saturday, his salary is guaranteed. All right, folks, want to remind you again, check out the website. We've got a lot of free content, including podcasts like this. But if you want the film breakdowns, if you want to have access to an NFL-style scouting department and a little bit of what we provide, can provide, and do provide for NFL teams and college programs, coaching and scouting consulting. That's what we want to be able to do for you and make the game more enjoyable. So check it out. We've got discounts going on the website, and it's a way to help those in need with the that are victims of the storm. So in Texas, we want to wish everybody well and safety this weekend as the storms are approaching in Florida as well. So enjoy the football games this weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday to break down all the games for you and tell you what we uncover inside the film room. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games, folks.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.